Today, we want to go to the Word and share with you making good use of bad interruptions. Making good use of bad interruptions. The Apostle Paul had returned to Jerusalem. He was in the temple of Jerusalem, worshiping the Lord, enjoying some private time with God. And the Bible says that quickly and suddenly some Jews saw Paul in the temple, and they stirred up the people. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized Paul. They violently laid hold of him. The whole city was aroused, and people came running from all directions. They dragged Paul out from the temple and began beating him in the streets of Jerusalem. The Roman commander heard about the riot. He rushed down to this riot, and with his soldiers clearing the way, the commander arrested Paul and bound him with two chains. The violence of the crowd was so intense that day that the mob required the soldiers to carry him on their shoulders. So here was Paul, enjoying time with the Lord in the temple of the Lord, and now everything's interrupted. But you know what happened? Paul made good use of this horrible interruption. As the mob was screaming for his death, throwing dust into the air, the commander spoke to Saul, to the Apostle Paul. Notice what he said. Acts 21, verse 37 and verse 39.
As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the barracks, he asked the commander, "May I say something to you? Please let me speak to the people."
Here, the apostle, instead of being overwhelmed by fright or by agitation, asked the commander, "May I speak to the people?" You see, Paul knew that it was time to make good use of a bad interruption. Brother, sister, we all face interruptions in life. Some are minor and some are major. But I want to share with you this morning how Paul used bad interruptions to achieve good. Paul trusted the director of interruption. Paul trusted the director of interruption. You see, Saul of Tarsus hated Jesus. This young Jewish Pharisee was on his way to hell. He persecuted Christians mercilessly. He hated Jesus. He only sought to destroy Christianity. But Jesus interrupted Paul's headlong run toward hell. Read with us. Acts 22, verse 6 through 8.
About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked.
Verse 10.
"What shall I do, Lord?" I asked.
Saul, on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, but Jesus loved him so much that Jesus interrupted his travel. Jesus broke in to Paul's plans. Jesus broke the motion of Paul's life in order to bring this Saul of Tarsus into salvation. From salvation onward, Paul knew Jesus as both Savior and Director of interruptions. Paul regarded Jesus as the Savior of his soul and the Director of life's interruptions. Paul no longer regarded interruptions as obstructions in life's pathway. Brother, sister, that is so true. the flat tire that happens at the most inconvenient time, the storm that cuts off the electricity in your home, the divorce, the illness. All these interruptions are not obstructions in life's pathway. Interruptions don't obstruct. They propel us toward God's purposes. So, Brother Paul, that day long ago, when the mob in Jerusalem seized him, drug him outside the temple, and began beating him, he remained calm in spirit because he knew that the director of interruptions stood at his side. His courage was so great that instead of hating these people who disturbed him, he stood on the steps of that Roman barracks, motioned to the people with his hand for silence. And when the mob settled down, Paul turned their intentions upside down. The mob intended to harm him, to even to kill him, but Paul turned it into an opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. Brother, sister, truly, interruptions can be very disconcerting, but they don't obstruct. They propel us toward God's purposes for our lives. Young David was anointed by Samuel. Samuel announced, "You will be king of Israel." But every kind of obstruction rose up. The king of Israel, Saul, began hating David, persecuted him, accused him of crimes he never committed, and for 10 years chased David. It seemed like David would never become king of Israel. And one time, as David was living in a cave in the side of a mountain, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 57. And I want you to read verse number 2 with us. Here are David's words he declared.
I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me.
I cry out to God who fulfills His purpose for me. David knew that nothing could stop God from fulfilling His purposes for His people. Brother, sister, the same thing applies to you and me. God cannot be prevented from fulfilling His purposes for our lives. So interruptions are not obstructions. Now, God doesn't cause all the interruptions that come along our way, but He uses all interruptions for achieving His purposes. The Apostle Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, was traveling through the country we now call Turkey, and he became ill. It looked like this illness was going to stop him from preaching the gospel. But notice Paul's words in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Here the apostle wrote,
as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you.
Listen to that. He was writing to the Galatian Christians. Galatian was a state or a province in the country of Turkey. And he said to them, as you know, it was because of an illness that I preached the gospel to you. Paul did not intend to preach in this part of Turkey. He was on his way to another destination. But his illness slowed him down. His illness was an interruption. But his illness achieved God's purpose. Let's read it again, Galatians 4. This time we're going to add verse 14. Galatians 4, 13 and 14 says,
as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God.
His illness was so severe that the people in Galatia could have scorned him, but they didn't. They accepted His word, and a wonderful, vibrant church was established in Galatia because Paul didn't resent the interruption, but he used it to achieve God's purpose. Read with us Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 33.
The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord.
I love this verse. The lot was almost a gambling device, a device thrown into the lap to determine the will of God. It looked like strictly chance. It looked like when the Jewish priest threw this lot, this counting device, into his lap, that it was just a chance. But Solomon pointed out that its every decision is from the Lord. So, brother, sister, don't get caught up in resenting the interruptions of life, but relax in God's hand. He will use that interruption to achieve something good if you will stay sweet in your spirit. Many years ago, Dolores and I went to a lady in our town who owned a half-acre lot next to the church we pastored. This lot would have been such a wonderful addition to our church property. There was a duplex and a house built on this half-acre adjacent to our church property. We went to her and we asked her if she had ever thought of selling the land and we would like to buy it. But she said, "No, my husband just passed away and this is part of his estate and I'm just ready, not ready to let go of the property." We said, "Fine." Well, we never went back to her home. About 7 or 8 years later, a realtor called me. Said, "Pastor, I understand that you're interested in buying the half-acre lot next to your church property." I was surprised the realtor knew about it because I hadn't thought of it in years. I said, "Well, yes, true. Years ago, I approached the owner of that property and asked permission to buy it." She said, "Well, the lady passed away and now her heirs asked me to call you and see if you're interested in the property." And I said, "Yes, we are." And so, yes, there was an interruption of about 8 years. But we bought that property at a wonderful price, and it was a tremendous addition to our church property and our church program. In fact, that house that we bought became our youth pastor's residence. So you see, God is doing something good, even in the middle of our interruptions. So regard God as the director of interruptions who will use them in His favor and in your favor. Well, not only did Paul regard Jesus as the director of interruptions, but he also regarded interruptions as mere intermissions in God's plan. Interruptions are mere intermissions in God's plan for our lives. Read with us Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15.
"But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands."
Now here the psalmist said, "I trust in you, O Lord." But notice the first part of verse 15. He declared, "My times are in your hand. My schedule is in your hand, O Lord." Now, whenever the scripture talks about anything being in God's hand, it's talking about God's control. If God holds something in His hand, He's in control of it. So the psalmist was saying, "My times, the schedule of my life is in your control, O Lord." So Paul regarded interruptions as mere intermissions in God's hand. As Paul enjoyed a peaceful time in God's temple, people rudely interrupted. Can you imagine sitting in church or sitting at home alone worshiping the Lord and suddenly a mob rushes upon you screaming for your death? They lay hands on you. They drag you into the streets of Jerusalem and a mob of people begin beating you, kicking you, throwing dirt in your face. What an interruption. But this interruption did not turn God's plan for Paul's life off. Interruptions never turn off God's plans. They are mere intermissions in His plan. Read with us a beautiful verse from Job chapter 42, verse number 2. Job chapter 42, verse number 42.
I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted.
Job was speaking to the Lord, and he said, God, I know that you can do all things. But then listen to this last part of the verse. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Thwart means to turn aside, to nullify, to make nothing, to cause to fail. So Job said, God, you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be defeated. So, brother, sister, God's plan for your life cannot be defeated. It cannot be turned off. It can be put on pause, but not turned off. Read with us another wonderful verse, Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 30.
There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord.
Do that again, please, Dee. Such a wonderful verse.
There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord.
Here it tells you three things that can never succeed against God. No wisdom, no insight, no plan can succeed against God's purposes for your life. So, when people were beating Paul, when he was being chained by the Roman soldiers, when the mob was shouting insults and curses, Paul's spirit remained calm because he realized this was merely an intermission in God's plan for his life. With God's plan on pause, Paul looked for the opportunity intermissions bring. You see, brother, sister, every intermission in God's plan for your life also brings an opportunity to you. Intermission and opportunity hold hands. It's like they're twins. You can't find one without the other. And so, in this situation, with people clamoring for his death, Roman soldiers arresting him and carrying him up the steps to the Roman barracks. In fact, in the barracks, Paul knew what was waiting him, a beating. The commander of the Roman guard was going to beat him in order to interrogate Paul and find out why all the people were screaming for his death. Let's read Acts 21, verse 39.
Paul answered, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no ordinary city. Please let me speak to the people.
Paul looked for an opportunity because, you see, intermission always brings its twin, opportunity. And suddenly it came to Paul. Here was a mob of unbelievers, Jesus haters. And he had a chance to tell them all about salvation through Jesus. This was more than an intermission. It was a beautiful witnessing opportunity. And so the apostle stood there on those steps. Roman soldiers on his left and right, they were guarding him from those who wanted to destroy him. Can you imagine that? Satan wanted to destroy this apostle, but God had sent Roman soldiers to guard him as he spoke Jesus to the mob. And he told these people that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. So, brother, sister, please, calm yourself. It's no fun when life interrupts us, when people interrupt us, when their evil plans and their Disappointments interrupt us. That's not fun, but it is an opportunity. John the Apostle spent his whole life ministering to the church. He loved Jesus, and he loved Jesus' earthly body, the church. When he was a very old man, probably in his 80s, maybe even his early 90s, he was banished by the Roman government to an island called Patmos. Patmos is a Mediterranean island, bleak, bare. The Romans used it as a penal colony. There they sent their criminals they didn't want to execute but wanted to get rid of. It was not comfortable. It was not anything like John wanted. It was not a place of pleasurable retirement. But on this island, and in these very, very unpleasant circumstances, let's read about our brother John. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, verse number 11.
On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see."
Here, John was worshiping God. He was having church, probably by himself. It says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God took this horrible interruption. God took this opportunity to be alone with John. And Jesus gave John what we call the book of Revelation. The book that shows us that God's in charge no matter what happens on earth. You see, this intermission became basically God's opportunity to show you and me the beautiful chapters of this wonderful book of Revelation. God took John's intermission and turned it into a divine opportunity. God's going to do the same thing for you and me. Let's surrender interruptions we resent. That's the key. We must surrender all the interruptions we resent into God's hands. We want to give these interruptions into God's control. Then God will make good use of all the interruptions that have happened to us in our past and will happen to us in our future. Brother, sister, did you know your salvation depends upon a man named Jesus who didn't resent life's interruptions but used them for God's glory? Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Verse 24.
This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him.
Here Scripture declares that God's set purpose and foreknowledge foresaw Jesus' arrest and rejection by the human race. But God saw more than tragedy. God saw more than interruption. He saw an opportunity to raise Jesus in a glorified body. So your Jesus gives you salvation today because Jesus, instead of resenting interruptions, he allowed God to use them to achieve divine purposes. Brother, sister, let's go to your God. And let's let our God use bad interruptions to achieve good purposes. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. And right now, we come to you and we confess, Lord, that so often we have taken the roadblocks and the obstructions that have come along our way, and they have become sources of irritation, sources of hatred, sources of cold love for you. But Jesus, we want to give our interruptions into your hands and for you to take them and use them for your glory and your purposes. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for lifting our eyes and our faith to you, to see only you, Jesus, in the middle of the worst of times. In your precious name, amen.